Matt Flynn Direct is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Devil Radio. Enjoy.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. And we're going right back to the front lines of history in the making. We have a caller and a text. Sam, I'm going to hold the text for a second, call on the caller, then go to you for the text. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Gene?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. And I just love the lady that answers the phone. She's just a real sweetie. You got a good person there.
Sam has a degree, I think, in radio management, but also she's an excellent producer. I mean, she really is.
Y'all are making my day. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm calling this morning because, you know, I'm against what's going on here with Gableman. And in all honesty, it's a continuation of the insurrection, utilizing my tax dollars. I really believe that, because it's continuing to push and, broadcast that there's an investigation of some fraudulent activity, wasting my taxpayer dollars every single day, making up different kinds of stories. I mean, it's ludicrous. It's fraud. And I hope that, that our guy, I'm going to be calling, I hope everybody get on the phone who's upset about this and call our attorney general. We don't need to be rude and say we're sick of the fraudulent abuse that's going on by the Republicans in our state or by people in our state who happen to have an R after their name. This is not political. This is an abuse of power, and this is ripping us off. And it's a continuation of the insurrection theme. And maybe we all need to call our federal Department of Justice and say, we want this investigation. It has to do with federal elections. And this guy is continuing to take our taxpayer money and commit fraud, and we're sitting here twiddling our thumbs. That's just my personal biased opinion. But you know what? These guys shouldn't have this power. These guys should not be able to pull this on Wisconsinites. And it should go for the poor people that are in Milwaukee, that their taxes are going up on their property. This is ludicrous. But thank you so much for all the great information and news that you give us, Matt. Thank you so much. And your callers are outstanding.
Yeah. Thank you, Gene. Thank you very much. You hit two very, very profound points. And one of them, I think, hasn't gotten enough currency. And that is your analogy that what Gableman is doing is a continuation of the insurrection. That is true. It's not only a waste of taxpayer money, but it's the use of taxpayer money to subvert our election. And when I say subvert our election, when you have a guy who is charging us 11 grand a month with 20 grand a month for his staff to put out memos attacking a woman because she colors her hair and lives with a boyfriend, and that's fraud. I mean, that just is flat out fraud. Okay. And then secondly, and attacking the mayors of the biggest cities and wanting to put them in jail and wanting to put this woman in jail. That is intimidation that's designed to make poll workers less likely to volunteer next time, because they don't want death threats and they don't want harassment and they don't want investigators showing up. And these investigators can, they can carry weapons, and they can have open carry or closed carry. I don't know if they do that with these people, but several of them are former police officers. Former police officers quite frequently and justifiably will carry weapons. This isn't Russia. Why are they going to people's houses Why are they investigating their private lives? I think it's an invasion of privacy. And should be actionable. And your second really good insight is that law enforcement should crack down on it. We our state attorney general, but also Merrick Garland, our federal one. And quite frankly, he has not been aggressive in going after, because the other good point you made was these are federal elections. This isn't the federal government sniffing around into state business. These were federal elections. This was a presidential election. It was a presidential election. And it's being subverted with tax dollars, and a Republican Supreme Court won't shut that down. So somebody's got to shut it down, go into federal court and just say, look, to Gableman, show us your evidence of fraud. Oh, this woman has a nose ring. Oh, really? Liz with a boyfriend? Get out of here. Get out of here. You see what I'm saying? Very, very good points. Very, very good points. Let's go to Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. Bill, what's in your mind?
You know, Gableman has to be put on the top 10 list for Putin's pals in Wisconsin. you know, Putin's got a lot of pals right in this state, and they're doing everything to turn this to a communist country. People don't believe it. People don't see it. They're stopping education. They're controlling elections. They're passing out arms like they're candy. I believe there's 120 guns for every 100 people. And Putin loves that. This is all right, you know, and communist ready. So let's get back to Gableman. How do we handle him? First of all, he can't investigate because he's got no jurisdiction. He's got no authority. He has nothing. Nothing. Right. I wish he would call me. If you got a number to contact that guy, I want to call him. I want to call him, and I want him to state chapter and verse where his jurisdiction comes from. Because he has none.
I think we're going to look at that, and then I'll broadcast it on this show, and everybody call him. But Bill, you in particular, because you're the guy that stands up to these right wing hosts, and you do a superb job. But you're absolutely nailed it. You're right on the money. You're right on the money. And where is his jurisdiction? The jurisdiction is in the legislature, in the assembly, and it's being done by just leadership. And if the assembly wants to jurisdictionally investigate something, they have to do it in the open. In other words, they have to subpoena witnesses by law and have them show up in front of the legislature, which is an open proceeding, and then TV and the newspapers can be there. They don't get to palm it off on Gableman and pay him out of taxpayer money and have a secret office in Brookfield. I say secret, it's private, you can't get in it, and then summon people with subpoenas that he signs. He has no jurisdiction at all. Now, lately, I think he's tried to get Voss to sign him. And if you ask Voss, what's he doing? Voss says, I don't know. Well, right there, that shuts it down. The legislature, even though it's gerrymandered and illegitimate, has the jurisdiction, not Gableman. If they don't know what's going on, there's too attenuated a connection between them and their agent and between them and their investigator. And he's going rogue. And then it's coming out from these memos, because remember, he destroyed a lot of stuff. So Frank Remington, a good Dane County judge, ordered him not to destroy it. He destroys them the minute they're sent. And these memos came out, and he's calling people names, and he's investigating their private lives at our expense. And I don't want to investigate anybody's private life at our expense. So, Bill, thanks an awful lot. Excellent, excellent points. Sam, we have a text, I think.
We do. It's on a little bit of a different topic. We're getting a little back more to Ukraine, if that's all right.
Sure.
But Ross from Lake Mills is asking, Matt, what would you do to rescue the soldiers / people trapped in Mariupol? I have heard nothing about anything to save them. Also, could you remind CJ every time that he mentions abandoning our ally, the Afghans in Afghanistan, that Trump abandoned the Kurds in Syria and how they were slaughtered by Syria and Turkey? Seems like he never brings that up.
Excellent points. Yeah, Ross, thanks very much. First of all, the people under siege in Ukraine, there are several thousand troops and several thousand civilians in this steel factory. And the commanding officer there said 500 of their troops are wounded, and the Russians are blocking off food, water, and any supplies. I think that what we've got to do is have a humanitarian corridor that gets food and water to these people. This is a Nazi occupation by Russia. The Nazis did it to Russia themselves in Leningrad during the Second World War. And I think we could simply say, give Ukraine the planes and the food and all of that, and just announce to Russia, this is coming as a humanitarian effort. You don't have to look at it as a military thing against Russia. But if this humanitarian extraction of people that are trapped there is interfered with, we will bring military power against that interference. I think at long last, all of NATO is sitting there far more powerful than Russia. Russia, and I'll talk about this later, launched a missile, test missile called Son of Satan, is what it is. It's a supersonic nuclear weapon. But they were very careful to notify us in advance, give us the opportunity to monitor it, say we don't mean any harm. We're doing it in northern Russia. They're afraid of us. And that hasn't been adequately taken into account. And the time has to be right now. Joe Biden said this is a genocide. We stop genocides. We've got to extract those people. We can have the Ukrainians do it with overwhelming military supplies, more than we're giving them. But if that is interfered with, because the Russians are trying to starve them, they'll come out. The Russians will rape the women, murder the women. They will murder everybody. They have 9,000 people in a mass grave. They're acting like Nazis. I do not think that there's any realistic nuclear threat to simply saying we're getting food in, water, and we're going to extract anybody who wants to come, including everybody there. Excellent point. And then coming to a break, so I'm going to very briefly, the lines are alive. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. And Ross, I will get to you on the idea of Afghanistan and the Kurds as an example of two juxtaposed issues. Going to a break. The line's open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. The backbiter, tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. The lines are live. We're going to go to them. Just before we do, I want to finish up my response to Ross of Lake Mills, where he raised the thing that when some Republican-oriented callers call in and they fault Biden on Afghanistan, they forget to mention what Trump did with the Kurds. What Trump did with the Kurds are our allies. They're wonderful people. And they stood up to ISIS. They took 10,000 casualties, many more than we did, to beat ISIS. And now the Kurds, some are Christians, some are Muslims, but they're ethnically different. They're hated by the Turks. Remember, the Turks genocided the Armenian Christians. They're genociding Kurds now. Kurds are attacking Turkey. In Syria, you have Sunnis, Shiites, and Alawites. I'm not going to get into the whole deal here, but it's a mess. And here's what Trump does. He's playing golf. He gets a phone call on the golf course. It's Erdogan of Turkey. He says, can I go in and can you get out of Syria? And then I'll go in and kill the Kurds. Trump has a 7-iron. He wants to keep on his game. He says, yeah, sure, go ahead. As a result, we left Syria. He didn't consult with anybody. He didn't talk to the military. Mattis, his defense secretary, quit as a result of that cowardly act. The Kurds got murdered. As we withdrew Kurdish women, as our troops, shamefaced, who'd been working with the Kurds, walked down the highway, Kurdish women hold up their infants and say, please take them with you to the United States or they're going to get killed. I'm not kidding. Trump, that was barbaric what Trump did. Barbaric. The Kurds had captured 10,000. They took 10,000 casualties and almost 10,000 prisoners of ISIS in the jails over there. Trump refused to support that anymore. And somebody said, well, they may go back into Europe, these ISIS people, and blow up churches and airports. And well, okay, the Europe's going to have to deal with that. Trump was lazy, irresponsible, crooked, inattentive, and people died as a result of it. And in Afghanistan with Joe comes into office. Trump had already recognized the Taliban, thrown the Afghan government out of the Vienna talks, substituted the Taliban, told the Afghan government to release 5,000 terrorists from jail over there, ISIS and Al-Qaeda, who went out to kill people, including American servicemen. And then Trump said, we're going to get out by May 1. Biden came in and said, we can't get out by May 1. but he said August 1. That, I think, was a mistake. He should have extended it. But then Trump attacked him for delaying it. And now the Republicans are attacking him for Afghanistan. Afghanistan is a jihadist country. They practice a brand of very, very fundamental Islam that believes in murdering anybody who is a non-believer and won't convert. They murder Christians, they even the Hazaris, minority group. You can't save a people from their own culture. It's as simple as that. So anybody who calls in, you know, let's not go after Biden for Afghanistan without reciting what I just recited, and then not acknowledging that Trump is contributing to the murder of the Kurds. Go to the lines. Dick of Madison, you're next, my friend. What's on your mind today, Dick?
Man, has anybody spoken to the cartoon character that is Kevin McCarthy this morning? The reason I call him that is now we're supposed to believe that his conversation with Liz Cheney, that really didn't happen. So who is that? Mel Blanc talking to her?
Right.
I mean, the guy just – and the only thing I can come up with is that we're so numb by 4.5 years of Trump that that's acceptable now. He flat out says that he didn't say any of these things. And then when he was pressed a little further, I guess he said something to the effect that, well, I was kidding. Now, I heard the whole thing on the news this morning, and he and Liz Cheney didn't sound like they were kidding in whatsoever. They were dead serious, and they were both right at the time. He needs to resign.
Right.
But now he's saying that none of this happened.
Right. That's there's a deep subtext to that. That's going to be our upcoming segment right after I take the next caller. So I'm going to defer my response, acknowledging that Dick called this in. And I'll give you the full story. It's several things, as well as Mitch McConnell being involved peripherally. Go back to the lines. Chris of Poinette, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Chris?
Good morning. Thanks for everything you do.
Thank you.
And whatever happens to the word frivolous, every single thing that the Republicans are doing currently is frivolous. Didn't judges used to throw things out because they were frivolous?
Right. Yeah, right. In other words, the Republicans are paying with the blessing of Republican judges. It was $676,000. Now it's over $1 million for Gableman to get $11,000 a month to investigate stuff. And he's running out of stuff to investigate because there's no fraud there. There were several audits, several recounts. Trump paid for a recount in Madison, Milwaukee, and Green Bay, thinking that that's where the action would be. And the recount turned up a couple hundred more votes for Biden than they realized. That's all. So what is he doing? He's doing private, personal investigations, very intrusive, to frankly intimidate people who worked at the polls. That's what he's doing. Now, nobody wants an MRI of his whole personal background. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that publicized in a memo. And this one woman in Milwaukee, who's an excellent, she has expertise in computers, is suddenly having all of her hobbies, her boyfriend, her living arrangements. She colors her hair. She has a nose ring. This is intrusive. This is a violation of her right to privacy. And we're paying for it. And then he's calling some people liberally deplorable and super spreaders and cross-pollinators without any definition. Why are we, Chris from Poinette is exactly right. Why are we paying for this? And isn't it wrong to pay for this? And shouldn't there be a lawsuit? And the sad thing is, our Wisconsin Supreme Court has 7 people on it and 4 of them Republicans. And even though Brian Hagedorn has done some very, very good work in some election-related cases, because, and he stepped apart and he upheld, for instance, Biden's win, even though 3 Republicans would have given it to Trump, even though he lost the election. That's how sad we've come in Wisconsin. But you cannot, in my view, leave it to the state court system because of the partisan polarization. It's got to be the federal court system. And the federal court system has to be, look, this is a continuation, Gina Beauclair made this point, of the insurrection. And what it's doing is subverting confidence in federal elections. This is for president. This isn't for dog catcher. This is for president. It's subverting it. And by intimidating people, by intimidating them, by publicizing their living arrangements with their boyfriends, their clothing choices, their grooming choices, you know, coloring your hair and the nose ring and all that stuff. That is wrong, and it's intimidating, and it's a violation of privacy. And the reason a federal court should have jurisdiction of that is because it's intimidating poll workers going forward. It's intimidating them, some of them, to continue to work. You know, there are a lot of people, frequently they're elderly people. I know my mom was a poll worker, loved it for many years. But if she suddenly started to get death threats, people calling her up, you know, my dad would have probably said, honey, you know, do we need this? You know, I mean, let's not do this again. And then what they're going to do when they, if they ever, God forbid, get the governorship or the attorney generalship, then they'll substitute poll workers with true partisans. I don't mean just Republicans, because poll workers are Republican, Democratic. I don't care. But I'm talking about conspiracy theorists. And we are going down the Putin road, going down the Putin road. In other words, what's happening here is you end up having fake elections. Now, we are not there yet, but in Texas, in Florida, and elsewhere, we're getting there. And in Wisconsin, with Voss and Gabel, we're getting there. And Rebecca Clayfish. We're going to a break. As the lines just lighted up. Don't hang up. There's a short break. I'll get back to you right after the break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to go right to the lines. Jack of Milwaukee, you're next, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Jack?
It's an honor to speak to a true patriot and a man who loves his country.
I want to
make a little comment on a call you got a couple of days ago. You know, Matt, you should have been a boxer. You scored a knockout that day. some fine gentleman called in from Stolten, and apparently he can't separate fact from fiction. And the first words out of his mouth is, oh, he's crying. You called him names, and he was crying. Well, then, you told him, hey, look, that's not what I said. And then, well, finally, you backed him in a corner. He had to admit that he was wrong. So you staggered him with that punch. So then he's rambling on about a red wave and how bad the Democrats are. So, well, then you turned around, and it was really funny. Then you landed a punch that knocked him out. You asked him three little words. Is Putin evil? And he wouldn't answer that question. I really laughed. And he stuttered and stammered, and he hung up. So you scored it. You scored a knockout. Keep up the good work, Matt. I love it.
Thank you, Jack. I look forward to your calls. Appreciate it. Tom and McFarland, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Tom?
Hello, Matt. Thanks again for taking my call. And I guess my concern, especially with Gableman, but he's not the only one who's doing it. The entire Stop the Steal movement does this. And that's how they just keep repeating lie after lie. For example, with Gableman, even using his own data that he has as part of his report when he was, you know, testifying in front of the legislature, the Journal did a great job of just going point by point and demonstrating how everything that he was saying in front of the legislature wasn't backed up by his own data. Right. But there's absolutely no consequences for that. For example, my position, if I go ahead and just make up stuff when I'm talking about a patient, I get into big trouble. I have to have the data back up what I'm saying. And if there's discrepancies, trouble ensues.
Right.
But it seems with these clowns, they can talk about those discrepancies all they want, but they ignore it. And there's absolutely no consequences. And right now you're seeing in the entire right-wing sphere, they're using Gableman's words to prove fraud, even though his own report says there is no fraud, but that doesn't stop him.
Right.
And you just see that cycle going. And I'm wondering, how can we have any kind of accountability when these guys feel there isn't any accountability?
You know, that is an issue. You did nail it. Barack Obama spoke exactly to that issue in a speech in Stanford University yesterday. And here's what he said, and it capsulizes what you just said as well. What he said was, look, when people like Putin or people like Trump or people like Steve Bannon lie and say things, and he called it pouring sewage into the public discourse, he said the objective is not that people will believe it, because, you know, a lot of people won't believe it. The objective is to make people not know what to believe, to question everything and end up hating themselves and divide and be divided. That's Putin's objective with Western civilization. But it's also Trump's objective and Barr's. And what he did, there's an old saying in politics that the Republicans especially like to go negative. It's not so much that they get votes out of it, but people get so disgusted with the mud, they don't vote. And the hardcore end up, there's a slight majority for Republicans. And that's what's going on. When you foul the public discourse, pour sewage into the public discourse, at some point people aren't sure what to believe. They don't know what to believe. And they end up questioning everything, even legitimate facts that you try to show them. And you end up not trusting, not knowing who to trust, not knowing whether your neighbor or whoever you're talking to can be trusted. So you're absolutely right. With Gableman, Gableman has already found there was no fraud. And that's what all the data say. But now he's doing private investigations of in many cases, women's backgrounds. Are they living with their boyfriend? Do they color their hair? Do they have a nose ring? What are their hobbies? They play video games. That's deeply offensive. That's deeply offensive. That is what that is an invasion of privacy, and we're paying for it. What happens is people sit back, and there may be somebody who doesn't like somebody living with somebody or having a nose ring. This is garbage. It's sewage that they're pouring in, but what it ends up doing is dividing everybody and repulsing everybody. So that's what's happening. It's what is the antidote? The antidote is just, in my view, to keep telling the truth, stay above the fray, understand what they're doing, and every time they pour this sewage in, slap it down. So thank you. CJ of Stoughton, you're next. Thanks for going in. What's on your mind today, CJ of Stoughton?
Well, thanks for taking my call, Matt. As I hear your callers call in, and what a successful job the Biden-Harris administration is doing. If this is success, I'd hate to see failure. You speak of inflation. It hurts people at the lower end. These tax increases now on property like Milwaukee. This is a Democrat-run state now and country. So we're living in a Democrat world. It took January 6th for the Democrat progressive liberals to care about crime and police, as we watched our State Street destroyed and the mayor do nothing, told the police to stand down. Well, I'd hate to own a business in Madison. It took Ukraine for the Democrats to care about a border, as we got 3.5 million that we've actually caught let in since the president is come into office. It took a poll of fuel and energy for the Democrats to care about inflation. It took a poll for parents to see what kids weren't learning, reading, writing, and arithmetic, but what they were learning about social issues in school, rather than actually learning how to read, write, and do arithmetic. So the Biden-Harris administration, the Evers administration, you guys talk a good game, but it's in the performance. And Biden's polls are now in the 30s. So he's just, and Harris is doing a fabulous job on the border. So you guys can pretend that this is not going to be a red wave, but the American people, independents, Republicans, and even smart Democrats, see what a failure this administration is every time they go buy gas or groceries. So, and now they even have to pay higher property taxes. So you guys go ahead and continue to fool yourselves that this administration is doing a great job while we left hundreds behind in Afghanistan, and Trump had a conditional plan Afghanistan. He wanted to go to zero, but he listened to his military advisors, and he didn't go to zero.
You've raised a lot of issues, CJ. Yeah, I'm going to respond to him, raise a lot of issues, and let me just counter a number of them. One is, in Ukraine, Trump had spent 4 years destabilizing NATO and the EU. Biden, in his short period in office, has re-energized NATO and has put together a truly meaningful coalition. Finland and Sweden are now wanting to get in. And he has put together the unity of Europe up against Russia, number one. Number two, what Trump did the whole time that he was in was basically be subservient to Putin. There's a lot of evidence that he's been funded by oligarchs, by Putin through his oligarchs in his private businesses, and he was subservient to Putin. Biden is standing up against Putin. You raise a lot of other issues. I obviously can't, there are other callers on the line. I can't obviously hit every one. Afghanistan, there were 30 some odd notices that went out to everybody in that country, get out. And the people that stayed were ethnic Afghans who had green cards or even of citizenship who wanted to stay with their parents or their families. And they were told to get out. They were given the opportunity to get out. And it was not a large number. And these are ethnic Afghans, many of them just green card holders. As far as that, I addressed that earlier in the show. Trump excluded the Afghan government from the Vienna talks, put in the Taliban, who lied to him, said we should get out by May 1, ordered the freeing of 5,000 terrorists from their prisons, and then attacked Biden for extending it to August 1. My quarrel there is it should have been beyond August 1, but Biden, John McCain had said we may be there 100 years. I don't buy that at all. We were there 20 years. There's plenty of time. They have a jihadist fundamentalist culture. You cannot save a people from their own culture. Anyway, we have a lot of disagreements on the thing on inflation. It's not as high as it was under Reagan. The point of the matter is there are economic conditions that cause things like inflation. It's down from October. And that was precipitated by Trump spent several trillion dollars. Trump added $7 trillion to our national debt. Trump did. And the money that went in to stabilize the economy was absolutely needed. So, and it is coming down. Anyway, thanks for calling in. Pizza Box Mike, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Pizza Box?
Well, you know, I was thinking about something, but since CJ wants to sound off again, you know, it's like CJ has no game, okay? He will tell you that himself. He used to come and watch us wrestle. We didn't go watch them play basketball. It's a non-achiever like that to call in and do a five-minute Newsmax commercial every show that he calls all day long. But let me tell you something, CJ, I left Wisconsin and went to Colorado, and everybody that's living there in Wisconsin, didn't matter which party they were in, they're embarrassed of Wisconsin. And I'm going to tell all you people that live, you know, real Americans, right, CJ, real Patriots, real Badgers, you better get up and stand up this summer and fight for this state, because they're not going to stop with their fascist movement. It's been going for 10 years, and most of you people, 11 now, and most of you that are in the Republican Party, if you're still voting Republican, you're a fascist, you're a racist, and you're actually a Nazi.
Yeah, Pizza Box, I got to get to a break. Folks, that's Pizza Box Mike. He's a host here on Devil Radio. And he has an excellent show on Saturdays, and you can hear more of Pizza Box, who is not shy about expressing his views. Pizza Box, my friend, thanks for calling in. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. The lines are alive. Before I get back to the lines, I want to raise an issue, a topic that also is partially responsive to Dick of Madison, who called earlier in the hour. It involves Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy. There is now a book out that establishes that Mitch McConnell, here's how he backed down from voting to convict Trump on the insurrection impeachment. He sounded out his caucus, and he didn't have a lot of support. And so he said, quote, "I didn't get to be majority leader by voting with five people in the conference." In other words, with a minority. So he just switched. And then somebody said, "Well, but your conviction is that he should be, Trump should be convicted." And McConnell said, "Yes, if this isn't impeachable conduct, I don't know what is." And then he goes on to say, "But the Dems will take care of the SOB, the son of a B." That's McConnell. And he's been mighty, mighty quiet, mighty, mighty quiet. There's a new book out by two New York Times reporters. And that's what happened to McConnell. He's ready to convict, chickened out, said the Dems will take care of the SOB. And I didn't get to be majority leader by voting with five people. But the worst is McCarthy. McCarthy, according to this book, said in a meeting, I think Rohrabacher, he was a congressman no longer in Congress, Republican California, who was in Putin's pocket. McCarthy said, quote, "I think that Rohrabacher and Trump are being paid by the Russians." And people said, "Oh, come on." And he said, "Swear to God, I think Rohrabacher and Trump are being paid by the Russians." He denied it. a tape of the statement surfaced. And then he said, "Well, okay, I no longer deny it. I was joking. But when you listen to it, I heard it on the news." He was not joking. Then, according to this book, he said on January 6th, right after January 6th, the insurrection, I'm going to advise Trump to resign. And then he said Twitter had thrown Trump off. Twitter should throw off some of the others in this caucus, you know, meaning people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Gosar and all that. He denied saying those things. Tapes have just surfaced where he did say those things. And he continued to say, "I didn't say them." In one of them, it's Liz Cheney, who got so disgusted, as you know, she's being primaried by the Republicans. She's on the January 6th committee. So when he said, "I'm going to advise Trump to resign," Liz Cheney is saying, "Okay, do you think he'll take that advice?" And they're trying to plot it out. Now he's saying it didn't happen. He didn't say that Twitter should throw off a couple of these radicals in his caucus. When you deny something that's on tape, and in one case, but not all of them, somebody just denies still, but in the Rohrabacher and Trump being paid by the Russians, he said, "Oh, I was just joking." You can listen to it. That man doesn't deserve to be in Congress, much less the minority leader, and he could be the speaker if they take the House this coming fall, which I hope they don't. So the question is, what would happen if Nancy Pelosi had done that? Or if Steny Hoyer in the leadership had done that, or Schumer? They wouldn't have their leadership positions. And a lot of people, if they lied and said, "I didn't say it," and there's tapes that they did, and they continue to say they didn't say it, what are they saying? That this is photoshopped or, you know, sound video, audio shopped? This is very sad when the leadership of the Republican Party acts this way. And what happened was McCarthy, "I'm going to advise Trump to resign," and he realized that the caucus was uneasy with that because the people back home didn't care that Trump orchestrated January 6th. And McCarthy, right afterwards, goes down to Mar-a-Lago, kneels down in front of Trump, and sucks up to him again. The lesson of all this is that McCarthy and, frankly, Moscow Mitch care about power and status. That's all they care about, and they betrayed their country. Their initial reactions were correct. Then they switched. They care about power. They have sacrificed the good of the country just to keep power. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Humanity. Wisco Paul.
Good morning. Happy Friday to you, Matt. There's a lot of Russian money in a Republican Party, for one thing. So, you know, a red wave would need a communist wave of money coming in here. You don't have to look any further than Wisconsin here with Scott Walker, Johnson. But I want to sum up the Republican Party. And CJ fails to talk too much about the state of Wisconsin here. Gerrymandered red. But there's one person that makes up the all you have to do is look at Gableman. That's the Republican Party. No accountability, waste taxpayers' money. It's just ridiculous what this man is doing. And there's no ramifications, Matt. He just goes out, drives around the state, deletes emails, does whatever he wants because there's no accountability. And that's what the Republican Party is all about. Total power, no accountability, do whatever the hell you want to do, and it's just ridiculous. So take a look at this state, please. I'd like to fix this if we could. Anyway, Matt, thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Yeah, and we talked about that quite a bit. It is unconscionable that the courts in this state are permitting the Republican Party to simply use taxpayer money as kind of a slush fund for their political objectives. That's just wrong. That's wrong. And initially, Boss was saying, I have to investigate fraud, and there's a limited budget. And now there's no budget. It's unlimited. And he was asked, when's it going to stop? And he said, when Gableman tells me he thinks it should stop. How many guys pulling in 11 grand a month who are unemployed before that are going to think it should stop? It's 20 grand for his staff. He has a secret office. He can go around, use subpoenas, do whatever he wants. Whole press conferences say that mayors should go to jail. Now, I think he may have gone too far, maybe even for the Republican Party. When he is just trying to keep his salary alive by investigating the private lives of people who work at the polls or work on the elections and coming out with their living arrangements, their grooming arrangements, their hobbies, that kind of thing, and calling them names and then saying some of them should go to jail because they won't give secret depositions to him outside of the public scrutiny, contrary to what the statutes say, which is that the assembly in this case has jurisdiction, but it's the assembly, not Gableman. Yes, they can hire staff, but the staff doesn't get to set themselves up as sort of independent bloodhounds going around investigating people's private backgrounds. If this somebody showed up and he did this in front of the TV cameras, there's no judge in the state that'd have the guts to uphold it, because it's so deeply offensive. It has gotten out of hand. And when you say how to stop it, it's ultimately going to have to be stopped through our democracy at the ballot box. The problem is with gerrymandering, which the Republican judges have upheld for the next 10 years. Do you realize we're going to have a gerrymandered legislature, Republican, from 2010 to 2030? That's a fifth of the century. That's 20% of this century. And that's just plain wrong. We have to keep working, and frankly, we have to get the truth out, the word out, which we get out with Devil Radio, and many of our TV stations and printed media are getting it out. And at some point, you have to trust people to say enough's enough. We are slowly drifting to a Putin-style democracy, which is fake democracy. And they have elections in Russia, and people run against Putin get killed or poisoned, and he gets 90% of the vote. That is the way it ends up. Coming to the end of the show, great callers as always. Everybody have a great weekend. I'm Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back Monday, same time, same place, signing off for today. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went high.